Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in possible.
Welcome, everybody, to the Border War podcast on the Kansas City Sports Network. We are presented by 360 Vodka. My name is Jarrett Sutton, and I'm always honored to be joined by my partner, the head coach of the Pembroke Hill Raiders in KC, the one and only Jeff Hawkins. Jeff, year two, man, on the Kansas City Sports Network. So excited to get this year started. You've been starting practice, man. It's so good to have basketball back.
It is, and it couldn't come at a better time. You know, I'm obviously happy that, you know, I'm with my high school guys, and now I'm here with the network because college basketball, which I have a huge passion of watching. I love watching college basketball and, you know, obviously getting to do some analyst work and cover some teams as well, too. So I'm just excited to be back in this year two of the Kansas City Network, man.
Absolutely. Been going to practices. I know you're getting started with practices. You'll be doing a lot of analyst pre and post for KU. I'll be doing some games for Mizzou. So perfect time to get started
this year.
And look to this coming season. Really exciting time. Kansas coming off a national championship. Let's start right there. What a run for the Jayhawks winning a national championship in New Orleans. So happy for Ochai Agbaji and Christian Brown, local Kansas City talents that end up being first round picks. Great stories of guys that were kind of overlooked. What a team they had with David McCormick and Remy Martin and Mitch Lightfoot, Jalen Coleman Lands. It was a good group. But as Coach Self always says, and I know you know this with your time with Coach Williams back in the day, time to move on, right?
Yeah,
you win a national championship. It's a great feeling, but now you move forward. I was just going to open up to you. What is it like if you put yourself in those players' shoes? You get there, you get to the top of the mountain. Guys like Jalen Wilson that are going to be back, DeJuan Harris. You got to move forward with a new team, knowing you're fresh off a national championship. What do you think those guys are feeling right now as you go to a new year?
You know, it's going to be a lot of excitement, and they're going to hold on to that until they tip off with that first game, I would assume, you know, being that national champ. But it's obviously a new season, and, you know, they're going to have to refocus in some ways. But, you know, winning a national championship is obviously something I have not done. But I have won championships, and anybody that's won something knows what it feels like when you really want something so big and on that big of a stage. So I know for them to do that, they're really appreciative of being able to accomplish that. And like you said, you know, in the words of Coach Self, it's time to move on. So, you know, it's a new year. It's new faces. Old faces have left. So the focus again for them is obviously trying to see if they can continue to do what they did last season to be able to repeat.
One of the things Coach Roberts was saying, I was talking to him this fall, and he said, you know, winning a national championship is great. Those first few weeks, you got the parade, you got the celebration. And he said, don't get me wrong, I love being national champions, but, you know, as coaches, they're ready to turn the page.
They're
back on the recruiting trail. You know, they're worried about the next team. They're worried about the freshmen.
That's just the process. Everything.
And that's why they love it. In victory and defeat, it's always turning the page to the next year. You're 0-0. That does kind of lead us down to news that broke today that we do need to touch on, and that is Kansas self-imposing. They announced today that Bill Self and Curtis Townsend will be suspended for four games, the first four games of the season. Norm Roberts will be coaching as the head coach those four games. There was a loss of three scholarships over the next 3 years. And, you know, Jeff, we've kind of come so far since we played where the rules are different now. Things have changed completely in terms of how college basketball operates. But, you know, this is a situation that took place many years ago. And Kansas, I think, in my opinion, got ahead of this a little bit by self-imposing. The NCAA has not come out with any sort of punishment. I think Kansas has been kind of waiting on this news and still waiting on this news.
Yeah.
You know, what's kind of your takeaway? And this is something that I know has lingered over the program. It's almost something that they didn't talk about a lot last, and deservedly so. They shouldn't talk about it. They're focused on the season, but I think this is a good way for them to just kind of address it before the year gets going and try to handle and do the best they can to kind of take care of it on their end before the NCAA releases their statements.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the best way I could, you know, put it in, you know, not trying to be biased, you know, Coach Self, those are my guys and, you know, I've played there, but to me, just for basketball in general, man, you know, to the least the way I feel like the NCAA handled it, they could have come out with the ruling. It's been 5 years. And I just think it's just more of a sad day that, you know, KU has to self-impose and come out with their own sanctions because the NCAA hasn't. But I do think that, you know, KU is definitely ahead of the game right now. They're just trying to get ahead of this and be able to find a way that they can put that in the past. Obviously, it's just been lingered out and held out for so long. And I just think they just want to move on and get forward with it.
Just like
how it was with the national championship, you know, I mean, that's kind of their same mindset. This has just been something that's been lingering on for 5 years and it hasn't been a good feeling. So nobody really wants to wait for 5 years to hear kind of what's going on when you really at the end of the day feel like you didn't really do too much.
Well, and the thing too that, you know, you got the school, you know, that sits, you know, in this NCAA umbrella. They're an NCAA affiliate member. And for them to implement, you know, the 6-week ban on recruiting communications and, you know, the reduction of official visits and the reduction of scholarships. And I keep thinking, you know, this investigation started in 2017.
Yeah.
It was so long ago. And then the notice of allegations were in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, and here we are. And it just, I think what people lose sight of is the coaching piece of this. When the allegations came out in 2019, and even when everything was going on in 2017, the coaches have to answer these questions all the time when they're out recruiting.
Yeah.
That's the hard part is, you know, the coaches are aware of what's going on. A lot of, you know, coaches around the country have to deal with the NCAA in some capacity. And that's the frustrating part, I think, is just if there is something that took place, you know, Kansas wants to know what it is and they want to move on.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever that may be, let's get that addressed. Let's put it on the table and let's deal with it. Yeah. And I think that's the frustration here. And I think it's frustrating, not just for the coaching staff, but obviously the administration, the athletic department, because they're the ones, the ones having those conversations with the NCAA. So it's a trickle down effect. We've seen some things already with the NCAA in basketball and some of the sanctions that they've imposed on players and student athletes that, again, here we are. We're talking about the NCAA again and how they're handling situations. And it takes away from the bigger picture of starting the college basketball season. So we'll see what takes place. You know, I think it's good on Kansas to you know, make this statement right now. Before the season gets going.
Yeah.
I did want to kind of tie us into the season ahead. And I think there's a couple guys to highlight, but let's start with Jalen Wilson. You know, he's a guy that was preseason All Big 12 first team, a guy that really turned it on in league play. You go back to the year he had with the off court situation to start his year last year, to where he was at the end of the year, the impact he made in the NCAA tournament, in the Final Four, in the national championship game, defensively rebounding the ball.
Yeah,
he's kind of going to take the next step. He's the guy that has to kind of take on what Ochai Agbaji did. Not necessarily Christian Brown, but Jalen Wilson's going to be the guy for this team. He is a guy that he's a different position, obviously, than Ochai, but a lot's going to be put on his shoulders. And I think that's why he came back. That's what he wants. He's got a chance to really put his mark on this program. And what we love about Coach Self as a coach is, you know, with those older players, they're going to have every opportunity to showcase what they're made of. And I think Jalen Wilson is ready for that. He has won a national championship now. He's seen how it's done. What are you expecting from Jalen? And let's remind our audience here, he was great at the NBA combine. I really wasn't sure if he was going to come back to Kansas because he was great. And there was a lot of conversation. This kid's in the second round conversation, but with NIL now and knowing the situation that Jalen had at Kansas, he was going to have a chance to really help himself. And I think too, and I would agree, and you know, with the decision Jalen made, is I'm sure he's looking at his year and thinking, man, I'm so glad we won a national championship. But it took him, you know, a while to get comfortable and start to play his best basketball. He really struggled at the beginning of the year. What are you expecting from Jalen going into this year?
You know what? I think one of the biggest things with Jalen that I'm really expecting from him, I'll kind of answer this in a couple of different ways, but I think what I'm expecting out of Jalen is obviously leadership. This isn't a team that has a bunch of seniors, guys. I mean, they have experience, but you don't have a really heavy senior class that has experience. But you do have some guys that know what it takes to win a national championship. I'll kind of take that over a lot of things. So Jalen really is coming in as a senior, although he's a redshirt junior. So he's coming in with that leadership role. As I've been here the longest. I've been there. I've done that. Obviously, we've won the championship. So I'm really looking for him to really show a lot of leadership, take some of these young guys under his wing, the Grady Dix, some of these young guys that really need to really up their game. Even KJ Adams, you know, taking a guy like KJ Adams who, you know, got some minutes, but be able to get him to be able to adapt into a role to be able to help the team. And then, you know, you got some of the young guys as well too that are trying to get their foot and figure out where their stance is. So I think Jalen's just going to have to be a leader, and for him to be the leader the right way. And he's shown that he's matured. I think that's what I really wanted to get to. He showed his maturity. So he's just going to have to continue to push that out to the rest of the team as far as them making mature decisions as well as him, and just lead.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And I think, too, with Jalen, you look at his splits. He shot 46% from the field, 26% from three, and 72%. When I look at that three-point percentage, I mean, he struggled to make shots at the beginning of the year. That three-point percentage actually increased as the year went on.
Yeah.
So I looked to him to make that jump, to be able to kind of come in right away, right out of the gate, start in the year as that guy. You know, you go back and look at the Champions Classic a year ago and how, you know, Ochai Agbaji just put his stamp right out of the gate, right? And I hope that can be the same for Jalen Wilson to have kind of a game like that, because he's fully capable. I mean, my thing with Jalen, too, it's not just what he provides offensively. He's great in transition. He's a great straight line driver. But really, when you look at his ability to rebound the ball, you know, he can do a lot of things versatility wise. And one of the things he showed at the combine that I thought was a big, you know, a confidence booster, I think, for him is, man, when the ball moves, he can catch and rip and make quick decisions. And I think sometimes he was very hesitant to be aggressive. And this is going to be his year to be aggressive and showcase that skill set. So I'm excited.
Well, there's a lot of shots. There's a lot of shots on the table with Ochai and CB leaving. So
that's right. That's right.
I mean, Ochai, CB, Remy. I mean, there's a lot of shots. And I think, you know, Jalen's going to look for that challenge. And there's some other guys that have to step up as well, too.
Yep. Let's talk about a newcomer that is a transfer in. I know the Big 12 fans will, and especially Kansas fans will know this name, Kevin McCullough out of Texas Tech. 6'6 wing. you know, didn't do score the ball really at a high level, average 10 a game. But he's an exceptional passer. He's a really good passer, and where he makes his calling card is on the defensive end.
Yeah.
When Kansas got this kid, it was just made so much sense because he's a high IQ player. He's tough as nails. He's long. He's athletic. He gets into the ball. He's everything Coach Self wants in a defender. You bring experience. You bring someone that knows the league. You bring that leadership mentality. The thing with Kevin is he's going to have to shoot the ball. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. He's a guy that is very unselfish, but shot 31% from three. I know that's an area of his game that he's really focusing in terms of trying to be able to stretch it and shoot from the perimeter. It's an important piece of his game to open up other areas, but he's a really complete player, ultimate team guy. That was a good get for Kansas in terms of getting someone with that type of size. And then you're adding the newcomers and the freshmen. And you know, I think Grady Dick is obviously the name that, you know, people are going to talk about. Yeah. He is a exceptional athlete, in my opinion. He's got great verticality. I think defensively, he's got a lot to learn, as all freshmen do.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that, again, the shooting piece, that's what I'm really interested in with Kevin, with Grady, you know, DeJuan as a lead guard. You know, the shooting piece, guys that can knock down shots, it's an important piece of Kansas's team this year. And I think a lot's going to fall on Grady for a freshman because he can shoot the ball. He's got a quick trigger. What is your takeaway right now in terms of you got a newcomer in terms of the transfer with Kevin, and then you look at the freshman that you're trying to put all those pieces together, and Coach Self, this is going to be a big challenge for this staff, given that was much different last year when you're talking about the national championship team.
Yeah, you're right. And I will say this, I got a chance to see, a practice about 2 weeks ago. And they had some old heads there as well too, Mario Chalmers, and it's funny that I'm calling them old heads because they are now. Even Mario Little, you out there, Mario, you're an old head now. But you know, they were practicing with the guys, and you know, it was kind of my first time really seeing these guys since the summer, and I got to see Kevin for the first time, and I was highly impressed with Kevin. Obviously, you talked about his toughness, his just ability to shoot the ball. I mean, he could run the floor. He looked the fit as far as, you know, to me, I think there's a certain type of fit of a player, just a look that Coach Self's looking for. They got to be able to take certain things. And I mean, he really fit the part. So I was really interested. I'm very interested to see how he's going to go in the mix, but I really think he's going to be an impact player. And, you know, you talk about Grady Dick. This is just a guy that's when I think of Grady, just a fun loving kid. He does have an infectious smile, but he has no fear. I mean, it's like when you see him, it's like you want to say, "Hey, Grady, remember, dude, you're a freshman." Like, this is just me watching him, like, "Hey, you're a freshman," but he's out there doing stuff like he's a junior, a senior. He's just, I mean, he has no fear. So it's going to be fun to see him, you know, kind of, you know, come into his game and see what he's going to kind of transpire into. And, you know, I have KJ and Ernest. Ernest is going to be a good work in progress, you know, obviously 6'11 freshman, 250. So, you know, having him, you know, continue to learn his angles and what Coach Self is looking for, you know, run, screen, sprint to the rim, just all the little things. So, you know, once they get that, because coming from high school to a Coach Self system is different, even from a high AAU team, it can be different. So once these new guys get a good grasp of things, it's going to be fun to see how they, you know, interact with the way Coach Self and his staff do things.
I was almost think the five position, which, you know, you go back to Doak and David, and you know, you got to have a true five in Coach Self's offense.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be by committee a little bit in terms of, you know, KJ's really bouncy and, you know, he's a high energy. You got to play KJ just because that motor's going all the time and he's earned that. So I would expect KJ to really be an impact. But I do expect Ernest and Zuby and those guys to probably you got to get those guys on the floor so they can learn and get experience, and you know, hopefully by league play they've gotten a lot better. You're starting them young. I mean, your five positions a little bit different. You don't have Mitch Lightfoot coming off the bench, even though I know Kansas fans wish he had a 12th year where he could come back.
I know 12th year. 12th year.
But But, you know, another thing, too, is it's an opportunity for guards that were on that team, like Joseph Yesufu and Bobby Pettiford, to step up, too. I mean, I know that they've had some good moments in fall practice, and they've had good summers. They're going to have, like you mentioned earlier, they're going to have opportunity, I think, to really earn minutes, and not just spot minutes, but a chance to earn a role within this team. And that's what I'm also going to be looking at as we start the year.
Yeah. And you know what the funny thing is, you know, we talk about all these players, and there's always one guy that just floats under the radar. And, you know, and I know Coach Self is in his staff, or they're high on this guy, and it's DeJuan Harris, who just completely runs the team and takes control, but it doesn't look like it because he doesn't show it in the points column, but he does so many little things to help light fires under players, stop runs, ignite runs. So it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, I always say this, what Coach Self, he has a lot of pieces to work with. It's going to just, you know, be interesting to see how he puts that piece of the puzzle together with this team.
Yeah, and again, in the same breath of a Kansas big, you got to have a point guard. You know that all too well. And, man, DeJuan, you know, just the toughness you touched on, the defensive ability, but just his ability to just have everything. There's a calmness with DeJuan when he has the ball. When things are haywire, he always seems to settle everything. And it seems like he's always making the right play at the right time. And you talk about a dude that is so unselfish. You got to have those guys. And it's when it's your lead guard, and make no mistake, I mean, he doesn't, you know, look like some other Kansas point guards that have come through in the past in terms of physicality and athleticism, but in terms of his IQ and understanding of the game and feel, I think that is as high as anybody on the team too. So DeJuan is a huge piece of this team. There's no question. So it's exciting times for Kansas, fresh off a national championship. There's still that feel, but they flip the page. They start with Omaha on Monday, and then they'll get North Dakota State on Thursday as well, gearing up for that Duke game on the 15th, the Champions Classic. That's always going to be a great time. So, Jeff, it's always great to catch up with you.
Always. For the year ahead. Thank you.
We will look forward to talking next week and see where the Jayhawks are at after week one.
You bet. Hey, shout out 360 Vodka. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Keep it going.